Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the first week of our series called Love Handles 2, and this week Pastor Josh Finkley discusses how love handles relationships. Enjoy the message.
How y'all doing? Good? Hey, say hello to somebody before you sit down. Just wave at them, smile at them. You don't have to shake hands, all that. But hey, we're glad you guys are here. Hope you're having a great day. Who's excited and fired up for this football game happening tonight? Anybody? Some of you? Do we have any actual, like, Kansas City or Buccaneer fans? Okay, so just a couple of you, okay? That's good. You know, I just love the fact that it's Super Bowl and we get to eat food and hang out with friends. It's going to be great. I know we got a Super Bowl party at the Coastal Campus, which I'm going to invade because they're going to have free food. And that you all paid for, all right? By the way... That's the way church works, all right? But anyway, hey, we're really glad you guys are here today. And if you're new with us, thank you for being here. I want to encourage you, if you are new with us, whether you are on campus or online, man, we want to connect with you. And if you're on campus, then the challenge I want to give you right now is to stop by the Connect Corner after service. We've got a free gift for you there and would love to take care of you and just get to know you and stuff like that. If you're online, then I want to encourage you to go to the Connect Corner, and it's there for you that you can just hit that QR code, and we've got a free gift for you as well, because we'd love to connect with you. And let me just say this, you picked a great weekend to be here at The Rock, and it's a great weekend in general. Hopefully it's always a great weekend, but this weekend we're going to launch a new series, and this series we're actually bringing back a series that we did about 3 years ago that people absolutely loved. And the series that we did 3 years ago was called Love Handles, which I just love that phraseology, all right? But the idea with Love Handles 3 years ago was, how does love handle blank, all right? And we talked about, how does love handle racism? We talked about, how does love handle sexuality? We talked about, how does love handle suicide and depression and things like that, all right? Now, we did that 3 years ago, so we're not going to run that angle this time, but I would encourage you, if you weren't with us, go back to our YouTube channel and you can watch those messages from 3 years ago. This time, we're gonna stick specifically inside of relationships. Then we're going to talk about, how does love handle relationships? And we're going to hit it from different angles. For instance, in the last week of February, we're going to talk about, how does love handle unwanted pregnancy? Or how does love handle pregnancy that ended in a miscarriage? Or how does love handle infertility? We're gonna talk about all of those on week 4. All right, it's going to be a heavy week. I'm just telling you right now. All right, some of you right now, you're immediately were like, woof, because you're dealing with it, or you've dealt with it, or you have a friend who has. And that's why we're going to talk about it as a church, because we want to look to God's word so that we can all find healing in those situations. All right, week 3, we're going to talk about, well, how does love handle divorce? Like, how do we deal with that? And we're going to talk about it specifically from the idea of, rather than ending it, how do we fix it? And how does love handle that? Next week, all right, we're going to talk about, how does love handle sex? All right? Now, let me just say this. For all of you married men who are here or watching online, I'm giving you a solid, okay? Because on Valentine's Day, February 14th, I'm going to talk about sex. So if you're a married dude and can't get lucky that night, that's on you, okay? I'm just telling you. All right, there we go. Some of you might just want to watch from home that day, all right? And I should probably not. Let's talk about that next week. If you're unmarried, I'm going to talk about sex from that angle too, because we need to talk about it that way, all right? This week, we're going to talk about this, all right? And I got to back up, because if not, I'll get myself in trouble. next week we will talk about sex, all right? Which honestly is critical for married couples, but it's also critical that our middle school, our high school, our young adults, that we have this conversation. But I want you to hear this, all right? It's going to be PG-13. I'm not going to say anything crude. That's not my style or anything. But if you have a first grader, send them to Kids Rock that week, okay? Unless you want to have an uncomfortable conversation with your first grader. You need to have uncomfortable conversations with your middle schoolers, but you might not want to have it with your kindergarten kid or first grader. So encourage them, go to Kids Rock, or if you're online, pull up the Kids Rock curriculum for them, okay? So again, though, that's next week. This week, we're going to talk about how does love handle being single or being married? And I'm going to do it by asking this question. Is it better to be single, or is it better to be married? We'll get to that. But before we even get to it, I got to set some ground rules. These are for this whole series. It's going to take me a little bit before I can get into the message because I have to set these ground rules. The first ground rule is this, is that we're entering into a conversation. That I want you to hear this message as a conversation. And I know that can seem difficult because I'm going to hog the conversation for 25 minutes, all right? And I know that because in this environment, that can be kind of difficult. Now, if you're at home, as I'm talking, you can have conversation with those that you're next to. Why you're even sitting in here? If you're whispering to the person next to you, I don't care, all right? That's good if it's leading a conversation about this topic. All right, the conversation will continue in your Discover teams or your small group or your ministry teams. The conversation can continue in the car or around the kitchen table. The conversation should continue, that it's got to be a conversation. And here's one of the reasons why it has to be a conversation. Because if you only hear it as a preacher giving a talk, then what you're going to do is you'll hear one thing and you'll either run with it the right way or the wrong way. Like you'll just hear, well, he said this. Okay, that's all I want to hear. And if you only hear one part of the message, not just today, but combined over the next 4 weeks, then you could say, well, this is fine if I just go do this. Or, well, he just said that, so that means that. All right, think about it. If you were having a true conversation with somebody and they said something, you wouldn't go, whoop, I heard exactly what I need to hear. Thank you, and run away. You would have the conversation. So it's important for us to have the conversation and for us to talk through these topics, all right? One way we're trying to help that is we've added another QR code to the screen. And that QR code right there is called the Question Corner, all right? The one on the left is the Connect Corner. If you go to the Connect Corner, you can always ask questions. You can get connected. But the one on the left, all right, or your right, that one you're going to put your name in, all right? This one over here that says Question Corner, it's anonymous. And you can ask whatever question you want. And what I'll do as I get questions in is I'll try to answer them at the end of the service. I'll come back up at the end of worship and answer a quick question. Or I'll do it online through my social media feed, all right? That's just a way to make it more conversational, all right? So feel free to ask questions. Second ground rule is that we have to handle everything with truth and grace. Like fully. 100% truth and 100% grace. Because if we lack in either area, well, then we're not following the model that Jesus set for us. And I pray that every week on this stage or in our student ministry stages that we are giving 100% truth and 100% grace at all times. But especially in this series, especially as we talk through this stuff, we've got to make sure that we're really focused on truth and grace, which is what Jesus did. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says that Jesus came in the flesh. So he came eye to eye. He came in relationship. And when he did so, he came full of grace and truth. And if you lack either one of those, it will lead to death. Here's what I mean. Let me pull this up. Anybody ever seen one of these? Okay, all the old people. All right. Because this... like, this is OG, all right? Like we could take this to the weight room, and we could do some work right now, all right? This is an exercise band that I bought on eBay for a lot of money because it's that old. But the way this works is you have to pull on both handles. That if I only pull on the right side, it does nothing. If I only pull on the left side, it does nothing. It is in the tension that there is growth. It is in the tension where we learn. And that's what happens when we look at how does love handle relationships. And it is handled through truth and grace. See, here's the problem. Sometimes we try to handle relationships with only truth. The church has been bad at this for years. Then we go, well, let's just give them truth. And when all we do is give them truth, then what you might have is legalism, what you might have is fundamentalism, that what you do is you cause people to run because they've just been beat upside the head with the Bible. But the flip side, and this is happening a lot in our modern day, is all we do is handle everything with grace. Well, just love. You just got to love, all right? That's not the way Jesus did it. That Jesus gave 100% grace. He gave 100% love while he gave 100% truth. That you can't let go of one handle, because if you do, then it does nothing for people. If all you do is give people grace, then actually what you do is you lose them and you lead them down a path of destruction. You do. Same thing, if all I do is give people truth, then I lead them down a path of destruction as well. I've got to give people truth and grace 100% all the way, and it's in the tension that growth happens. And in the tension, it's difficult. And in the tension, you want to give up. In the tension, there is pain and there is struggle. But it is in the tension where growth happens. And if we're not willing to handle the tension, then we'll never grow. So how does love handle singleness? How does love handle marriage? Let me ask it this way. Is it better to be single, or is it better to be married? And you, again, you might see that question and go, am I allowed to answer? Because some of you single people right now, you're like, dude, it's better to be married, okay? And some of you married people right now are sitting there going, well, you wouldn't dare say it. You're like, can I even laugh right now? I don't know if I'm even allowed to laugh because she's sitting next to me, right? You know what I mean? But we get there and we go, well, is it better to be single or is it better to be married? Well, here's the benefit. The Bible answers this question. The Bible answers many of life's questions, all the ones that are important. And the Bible answers this question because some other people asked it. They sent a letter, is it the Corinthian church? And they either sent a letter or a messenger, we don't know which one, but they sent a message to the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul was the guy who had planted the church. He was the one who had founded the church. He went there, preached the gospel, got people to understand who Jesus is, left some leaders in charge, and then went to another place to plant another church. But then some things started happening in the Corinthian church, so they sent a message to Paul with some questions. And that's why we have 1 Corinthians. It's the book in the Bible called 1 Corinthians. The majority of the book is Paul answering questions or problems that were going on in the Corinthian church. And we don't know their exact question, but by Paul's answers, we can play a good game of Jeopardy and figure out the question. Because what Paul does in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is he gives some answers. And we'll be in this chapter for the whole series, all right? Every week we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And today we're going to look at it because he answers the question, is it better to be single or to be married? And he does it with this phrase. He says this, but I wish every one of you were single, just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Let's pause there for just a second. That he actually says, catch this, it's a gift to be single. Now, that's not a message you hear very often in America. In America, you are told that, well, you've got to be in relationship or you have to be married. And that means whether you're a young adult who hasn't been married, whether you're divorced, whether you're widowed, it's like, well, when are you going to get back into a relationship? Because our American culture is built around this idea that I have to be in a relationship. That if I follow people on Instagram, it's all about relationships. And then you see them in a relationship and you see their highlight reel while you're sitting back living your life, you know, eating Cheetos on the couch, right? Okay? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, the world is saying I got to be in a relationship. That everybody's telling me I have to have, you know, a white picket fence and a front porch and kids, and this is what I've got to do. And if I'm not there, then I haven't measured up. Because even when I got invited to the party, I was asked, who am I bringing? And some of you single people, you want to shout to the world, the Bible says it's a gift. Leave me alone. That's what some of you single people are saying. But some of you married people are saying, yeah, but he also says it's a gift too, okay? We'll get to that in a second. The reality is I think we're told you've got to be in a relationship is because we think that's where we find identity. See, this whole series is really going to come down to that, is where do you find your identity? Is my identity in a relationship? Is my identity in a marriage? Like, if we find our identity in anything other than Christ, you're going to be left in wanting. It might fulfill you for a moment. It might take care of you for a little while. But eventually, anything that any place that you find your identity that is not Christ will eventually fail you. So I think what Paul is trying to get at through this whole thing is find your identity in Jesus. And you'll see that as we go on. Then he goes on and says this. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better. It's better to stay unmarried just as I am. Right there in the scriptures, Paul says, the Bible says, it's better to be single. And you're like, I didn't know that was in the scriptures. Some of you are married right now going, are we in trouble? Because it's better. But why would he say that? I mean, can we boil it down a little bit further? Because you might read that and go, wait, he says it's better to be single. Well, why would he say that? And here's why. He says it this way. He says that I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. This is just a few verses later, down into verse 32 through 34. He says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. He's like basically saying, I want you to be singularly focused on Jesus. And if you are married, you can't have a single focus. Because if you're married, then you have made a decision to have a different focus. Not that you shouldn't focus on Jesus, we'll get to that. But you also have another focus you have to have. All right? This isn't a negative thing that he's saying next. It's a real thing. Okay? It's not a negative thing. It's just a reality. When you enter into marriage, this next part of the verse hits. This is what he says. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. A married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. That is the requirement of marriage. For those of you who are married, or for those of you who want to be married at some point, make sure you hear this part. That marriage is an act of service that you signed up for. It's not an act of service that you get thrown into. It's an act of service that you sign up for. That the minute you stand on the altar and you say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, all the way through, then what you are saying from that point on is, I am here to serve you. That's what Scripture teaches. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submit to one another. In essence, meaning serve one another. And then it goes on and says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, meaning serve them. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, meaning serve her. The act of marriage is all about serving one another. That's what you sign up for. And it's a beautiful thing, right? But it does mean something you have to focus on. So what Paul is saying is if you are single, you don't have to focus on that. What you can do is you can focus on the Lord. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. That basically all he's saying there is, if you're married, you have to have two thoughts. How do I serve God and how do I serve my spouse? If you're single, all I have to do is think about, how do I serve God? Like, what can I do to serve God right now? What can I do to sit at the feet of Jesus right now? What can I do to attend to him right now? What can I do if he wants me to go do this, I can go do it. Here's an easy illustration. I look around the room, I see a lot of young adults. If you're single, and I don't know your stories right now, but for those of you who are single, do you realize you can go and do whatever it is you want to do? Now, you might have put yourself in some bad financial debt or something. That might limit you a little bit. But outside of that, I mean, you can do it. You want to go chase a dream? Go chase a dream. You want to go to Dominican? You feel like maybe the Lord is saying, go to the Dominican Republic and partner with Go Ministries and just serve for 6 months. Go. I'm a school teacher. I'm going to move to Russia, and I'm just going to teach kids so that I might be able to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to move to China just so I can teach kids so that I might be able to tell them about Jesus. If the Lord is putting that on your heart and you are single, you're a young adult, there is nothing holding you back. I know some of you parents are going, stop talking, Josh. But it's true. Let me move on to some of you who are senior citizens and find yourself single right now. Same is true for you. The exact same is true for you. That your only mindset can be, I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. That I want to serve him. I want to spend time with him. I want to go to Bible studies. I want to serve in ministries. I want to take care of my neighbor who's across the street who struggles. I want to take care of my neighbor who's a couple of houses down who struggles. I want to take care of my grandkids, and I just want to disciple my grandkids. That I just want them to know who the Lord is. Think about it. If you're a senior citizen and you're single, Then what you could do is you could go, you know what, my grandkids live in another state. Move to that state. Because you could just go there and disciple them if your health allows and stuff like that. But do you see what I'm getting at? That you are free from the concerns of this world and you can be 100% bent on how do I serve God. If you're married, you have to also think about your spouse. So what do we do with that though? I mean, think about this. Is what he's saying is, it's better to be single, but you might find yourself in the middle of a marriage. And you go, okay, well, did I screw up? Did I mess up? What do I do? Well, fortunately for us, we can read Paul's words and we can see it. He says it, start at the top. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried, just as I am. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry, because it's better to marry than to burn with lust. So it's better to be single and it's better to be married. Everybody gets what you want. You might be reading that going, is Paul schizophrenic? like, has he lost his mind? Because it seems like he's saying, why is he saying it's better to be single? Why is he saying it's better to be married? Well, because he's also saying this, that everyone has a gift. And if your gift isn't singleness, then maybe it is to be married. And look back at his words. He says, but if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. That word can be translated desire. Or that word can be translated passion, okay? What he's saying here is he's saying, listen, the Corinthian church, you're in the middle of just a lot of difficulties when it comes to sexual sin, the city they were living in. We'll cover that all next week. But in the midst of that, he's saying, listen, if you can't keep yourself pure, if you're burning with a passion, a sexual desire, then it's better to go ahead and get married, all right? Now, I need to give some clarity here for a second. Because you might read that and think, well, Paul is simply saying, if you want to have sex, just get married, okay? That's not really it. Because let me just tell you this straight up. If you get married just so that you can have sex for the rest of your life, you're going to be disappointed. But again, that's next week. Is it part of it? Yes. Is it a beautiful part of it? Yes. Is it designed for a man and woman inside a marriage relationship? Yes. And so that's what he's getting at here, that if you can't control yourself, if you struggle that way, then yes, it's better to marry. But I want you to think about it holistically. Think about it holistically for a second. That you might have physical sexual desires, better to marry. You might desire sexual intimacy, better to marry. You might have a desire just to be married, then get married. That what he's saying is whatever is better, because marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, ordained by God. That you can go back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, that God created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve, and he brought them together in Genesis chapter 2, and it says, now that you are together, you are one flesh. You are one flesh. And as one flesh, Jesus said this in the Gospels, they shall not be separated. They're not to be separated. And why is he saying that? Why are they coming together as one flesh in Genesis? Why is Jesus saying don't separate? Here's why. Marriage was designed to show us what a relationship with Jesus looks like. That our whole marriage relationship should point us to a relationship with God. That when we come together, there's no way that that relationship should ever be separated. Because marriage is a reflection of our relationship with Jesus. And that's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5 as well. So again, marriage is a beautiful thing where we serve one another and serve God. See, here's reality. The reality with this whole idea of, is it better to be single or is it better to be married, lands in this. Do whatever is better so that you can serve the Lord best. Let me say that again. Do whatever is better so that you can serve the Lord best. If it's better for you to be single, then do that so you can serve the Lord best. If it's better for you to be married, then do that so that you can serve the Lord best. See, the truth is, it's better to be single or it's better to be married. The grace is, do whatever helps you serve the Lord best. And that's what Paul said in this verse. It's verse 35 of chapter 7. I am saying this for your benefit, meaning, here's grace. I want you to do whatever is better for you. Not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best. What's best? And what is best is serving the Lord. Now, when I say serving here, let me break this down for just a second. Because I don't mean serving like just going out and serving somebody. I don't mean serving just like serving at a door as a greeter or serving on a tech team or serving in Kids Rock. Those are all ways that we serve Jesus, okay? And things that we might need to do. But what the Greek, which is what this language this was originally written in, what the Greek is getting at here is this. It's not a service that is simply about go and do. It's a Greek word that is about sitting. Our English word for it would be devoted. That whatever helps you to be devoted to the Lord best. But the real translation of the Greek word is this. To sit at the feet and to attend. Like the word that was used here when Paul wrote this is do whatever is better that helps you sit at the feet of Jesus and attend to him. Meaning, what's going to help me sit at his feet and be in relationship with him? What's going to help me sit at his feet and get to know him? What's going to help me to be able to sit at his feet and attend to him? Meaning, I'm sitting here ready to do whatever it is that you tell me to do. If you tell me to go serve a person, I'll go. If you tell me to lay down on my face and worship, I'll do that. If you tell me to go to a different place, I'll do that. What's going to help me sit at his feet and attend him best. That's what I'll do. And if that is better to be single to do that, then that's what you do. If it's better to be married, because our marriage relationships should be that. I mean, think about it. If I'm single, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus saying, how can I best serve you? If I'm married, I'm sitting at the feet with my spouse. I'm sitting at the feet together, one flesh, saying, Jesus, how do we best serve you, attend to you, because we are devoted. And we've got to do that, as the verse says, with as few distractions as possible. And see, the problem is, many of us have brought distractions into our life. Because rather than recognizing the gift of singleness, we're just constantly going and looking for a relationship. And then we're going from looking for these relationships, maybe we lose focus on sitting at the feet of Jesus. Maybe we get into a relationship and where I used to focus on Jesus, now I'm focused on that guy or that gal. Not that relationships are bad, but are they distracting? And maybe it's a relationship that's going to lead you to both sit at the feet of Jesus. That's awesome. But we got to make sure we do that without distractions, which means we got to avoid sexual sin. We got to avoid losing focus. We've got to stay focused on Jesus. That maybe you find yourself in love with this person, but because of sexual sin, you're distracted. Maybe you find yourself in this relationship, but rather than focusing on Jesus, you've started focusing on them. Or maybe the problem really is that you came with a focus on Jesus, and then you got into a relationship with somebody who doesn't desire Jesus. And now they're going down one path, and you're trying to go down another path, and those two paths don't go together. They don't. Because what will end up happening is either you will get on their path or they will get on your path. It's going to be very difficult to go two different paths while you're dating. So if that's the case while you're dating, make some changes so that you can best serve the Lord. Because what will happen is if you end up getting into a marriage where you're distracted because of sexual sin, you're distracted because of arguing, or you're distracted because you don't have the same mission, man, it's tough. It's tough. You'll find yourself wanting to sit at the feet of Jesus, and you'll find your spouse saying, no, I want to go a different direction. And it's tough. But you might go, well, I'm already in that position. Now what do I do? Hold on to truth while you also hold on to grace. Because if you're already in that position, again, let's say if you're married and you know that you're wanting to be with Jesus but your spouse isn't, hold on to truth while you share grace, because who knows, maybe that spouse will come to grips with God's grace. That's what 1 Corinthians 7 says. But maybe I'm in a marriage and we're distracted because we've allowed sin in. Recognize the truth. Surrender to God's grace. Forgive one another and move forward. Maybe I'm in a dating relationship where I recognize the truth that I need to be with God. Let somebody else share the grace with the other person. You might go, whoa, 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 what's that mean? I'm telling you, I want you to share grace with everybody, but don't think I'm just going to stay in this relationship dating somebody just so they get the grace of God. That'll lead you down a dangerous path. Sometimes people come to know the Lord because of a dating relationship. I am one of them. Some of you in here are one of them. But it's difficult. Right? Last thing I'll say as we hit this time of response is simply this, that when it comes to this whole idea of single or dating, I want you to think about Jesus, because what Jesus does is he comes to give us truth and grace. And Jesus came as a single guy, and there's many theological reasons for that, But there's also a real practical reason for that. Because Jesus came, he came to die on a cross for us. Jesus came to serve us. Jesus came to say, I want to be in relationship with them. And he came with one mission, to die and to give us grace. And he knew as a single guy, that was the way that he could best serve the Lord, God the Father, and best serve us. And by dying on the cross and rising from the dead, what he did is he made it possible for us to receive his grace and to come into a relationship with him. And as we come into a relationship with him, it's a relationship that will never be severed. It's a relationship that come hell or high water, he's saying, we've come into relationship together, so because of that, we're sticking it out, that we are unified. That Romans chapter 8 says, neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demon, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That we are in a relationship with him. And I want that for you right now. Because here's the beauty of a relationship with Jesus. When you start grabbing hold of truth and start grabbing hold of grace, here's what I know. It keeps getting better and better and better. It might be tough at times, but if you'll wrestle with the tension, it'll get better and better and better. So let's wrestle with that tension right now. Maybe during this time of response, as a single person, you want to come up front and go to the prayer corner and take communion and just spend some time serving Jesus, being devoted to him. Maybe it's wrestling through this, some ideas that you've had, some distractions you've had, where you say to Jesus, Jesus, I want to get rid of these distractions. I want to walk with you. Maybe you're here and you're in a dating relationship. And then my challenge would be for you as a dating relationship to come up front, to take communion together, to get down on your knees together, and to say, as a dating relationship, we are going to individually serve God, and then we're going to collectively serve God together. If you're married, then you're going to come up and you're going to say the same thing because you are of one flesh, and you're going to say, together, we're going to get rid of distractions. So whether you're single, whether you're dating, whether you're married, let's take this response time and let's get rid of distractions so we can singularly focus on attending Jesus. I want you to do me a favor. Let's stand. If you need to make a decision, there'll be those of us at the Connect Corner. We'd love to talk to you. If you're online, talk to a host. If you need Jesus, I want to challenge you to enter into a relationship with him right now. Pray with me. Jesus, we come before you. And we thank you for the truth of your word and the grace of your word. God, I pray that whether we're single, dating, or married, that we will do it because it's the best way for us to serve you. Help us to respond to the things we've discovered. Help us to get rid of distractions and come into a relationship with you. Because we know in a relationship with you, it just gets better and better and better. So Jesus, we just pray that that will happen in our lives right now. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.